Our theme this year as a congregation is based on John 12, verse 21, when the Greeks came to Philip and they said to Philip in John 12, verse 21, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." In a way, a lot of things we're doing this year is about different ways to see Jesus, of course, through the prism of the New Testament. We had a class on Jesus as a teacher and his teachings. That's one way to look at Jesus. We, on Wednesday nights, the first quarter of the year, we spent time on the New Testament world to understand the culture, the society, the environment in which Jesus lived and his first followers. In a way, this study of New Testament geography is just another way to see Jesus. And tonight especially, that's the case. So I want you to think about these texts right here, and I'm going to give you some texts that I'm going to call on people to read. Earl, would you look up Luke 2, verse 10 and 11? Rick, John 1, verse 14. Ken, after you sit down, I'm going to have you look at Acts 10, 36 to 39. Okay, and then Elaine, 1 John 4, verse 2, 1 John 4, 2. Ken, yours was Acts 10, 36, 39. They're going to be on the screen here. Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. This is the announcement of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. Earl?
"And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news and great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'"
All right. Where was Jesus born, the shepherds were told? In the city of David. Do you understand that at the announcement of the coming of the Messiah, these first witnesses of that were given a geographic destination to pinpoint where the Messiah was? The city of David. Look in John chapter 1, verse 14. Rick, what does that say?
"And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth."
So the Word in this context is who? It's Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. Flesh has to reside on this earth. Do you understand that? Flesh and living on this earth go hand in hand. If you're in the flesh, this is where you're at. You're on this planet. So, look how fundamental it is to understanding and seeing Jesus. You've got to see Jesus in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh, you're on the planet. Acts chapter 10, Ken's going to read Acts chapter, not Ken. Sorry. Acts chapter 10, Ken is going to read. Susan, you can join this table right here. Acts chapter 10, Peter is starting to preach to Cornelius. Cornelius had sent for him because of the message from God. And look at the geographic points that Peter references here. All right, 36 to 39.
"As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree."
All right, look how that when Peter is preaching the gospel to Cornelius, look at the frequent geographic references. This message that he's proclaiming, he references the fact that Cornelius already knew something about it. This is a message that was being preached in Judea and Galilee. And then he says, these things that happened to Jesus happened in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. It's fundamental to the gospel that Jesus was in the flesh and at certain places on this earth. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Elaine, would you read that for us? Look at this emphasis.
By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God.
Frequent references in the writings of John the Apostle, the fact that Jesus was in the flesh. It's sort of a bookend to John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus was in the flesh. Matter of fact, if you deny he's in the flesh, oh, by the way, being in the flesh means you're living on this physical earth. If you deny that Jesus came in the flesh, what does John say there in that passage? That's the message of whom? Okay, it's the message from God that Jesus is the Christ, exactly. I'm going to put you all right there together, okay? Four makes a group, okay? So, maybe you didn't read far enough. Elaine, you've got the text. Those who say Jesus didn't come in the flesh is what? What's he call them there? The Antichrist, which means you're against Christ. You're against Christ if you try to make the argument that he didn't live in the flesh. Do you understand that the gospel calls us to believe that Jesus was in Nazareth. He was in Jerusalem. He was on the Sea of Galilee. He was at the Jordan River. You have to believe he was in the flesh at those places. If you don't believe that, you've not accepted the gospel. If you've not accepted the gospel, you can't find salvation. This is so very fundamental. So, to see Jesus, we've got to see him in these places. I want to make 3 points about this. If you've got some white space somewhere on like one of the maps on the back of a piece of paper that I've already given you, I didn't give you a sheet to write this down because it's just 3 simple points, but I would encourage you to write it somewhere. You can write it inside your folder. See all the options you get in this study? And you got all these markers. So if you want to write it in purple or blue or whatever, but I want to give you 3 points about seeing Jesus. We must believe in and connect to Jesus' physical life on earth for him to lead us to an eternal life in heaven. I want you to think about it that way. You can't have spiritual life for eternity in heaven unless you accept that Jesus was in the flesh on earth. That he was born in Bethlehem. That he was baptized in the Jordan. That he walked the hills of Judea, that he walked through Samaria, that he visited the town of Tyre on the seacoast in the Mediterranean. You've got to believe he was in those places, because that's necessary to believe that he was in the flesh and he came to earth. You've got to believe in the physical, earthly existence of Jesus geographically to have eternal life. I don't think we think about it that way. But that's exactly what the New Testament is teaching. Second of all, to effectively see Jesus, you got to see him in these places. You'll see this in tonight's activity. There are some incidents that it's hard to know exactly where Jesus was. You sort of get an idea of where he was, probably somewhere in Galilee when it happened. But there are other occasions when it is plain, it's clear he's at a specific place. He's at Capernaum. He's in Jerusalem. He's in Nazareth. He's at Caesarea Philippi. So if the text is pointing that out, if we miss that, we miss seeing part of Jesus. You've got to effectively see Jesus. You've got to see him in these places. And third of all, to tap into his help. You've got to see that he actually lived in these places, because that's fundamental to understanding that he had an earthly existence. And understanding he had an earthly existence is important to know how to tap into the help that he gives us. The book of Hebrews in the first few chapters really make this point. He had to be made like his brethren. He was flesh and blood. And because he's made like us humans, he's able to sympathize with us, and we can come to his throne and find mercy and grace in time of need. People struggle with, God doesn't understand me, God doesn't get me, and all those kinds of things. when one way to compensate for that is to really see that Jesus lived in these places, a real human being living in these places, walking on earth, and thus he had many of the same experiences I did. He knew what it meant to get out of breath when you went up a steep hill. He knew what it meant to see a sunset over a big body of water like the Sea of Galilee or the Mediterranean. He knew what it was like to be in a windstorm. This is all making Jesus real. And you can't tap in to the help Jesus can give you as a believer unless you understand he knows what it's really like to live in this body and to live on this earth. That's why geography is important, is to help us in our faith that Jesus was real. Okay, anything you want to add to that?
We had to be in the flesh to die on the cross.
That's right. You know, there was an early teaching that people were perverting the gospel, saying that he was not in a physical flesh. And you'll see some statements in the New Testament making that point. Yeah, he was in the flesh because he died. He shed his blood. See how important that is. Now, I want you to think about how the Gospels are arranged. For instance, I want you to glance at a section. It's the one we've been reading in. It's Matthew 9 to 14. And some of you are going to be working out of that section. But go ahead, everybody, and turn to Matthew 9 to 14. And what I want you to do is I want you to scan chapters 9 to 14. And I want you to think about how this gospel record of Jesus is structured. I want you to scan chapters 9 to 14 of Matthew. How are the gospels structured? Just glance through those chapters, chapters 9 to 14. Just slowly turn page after page. If someone you meet on the street, I guess we need to get rid of that expression, because how many of us on an average day walk on a street? Okay? Joe raised his hand. Two more days, Joe. And you're all around us. Okay. There you go. There's always an exception. But you know what I mean. You run into someone you've never met before. You learn they know nothing about the Bible. And you have to explain to them what's in the Gospels. Besides saying, yeah, it tells you about Jesus, how are those chapters structured, which represent a big part of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke? How would you describe the structure of that record, Rick?
What he did and what he taught.
What he did and what he said. Excellent. And what else? Add to it.
Related to that, interaction with people.
Right? Interacting with people, whether it's a miracle or teaching. Yeah. Anybody have headings in their Bible? Little sections, you know, where it says Jesus walks on the water or something? In Matthew 9 through 14, how many of those do you have? How often do you have those headings? Frequently. Why? Because it's one event after the other. In your biblical text there, how many verses do you see dedicated to each event? 7, 5, 4, 3, maybe 10. Not very many, right? They're really quick snapshots. Okay, you know what it's like? It's sort of like YouTube. So you Google and you Google and you go to YouTube and you type in like how to get a greener lawn. And you pull up a video about how to take care of your grass. Well, then what do you have down the side column after you do that? All kinds of other videos related to that. And some of them might be about growing grass. Others might be about shrubs or how to pick a good lawnmower. But they're all related, right? What you've got in the Gospels are these little videos. Sometimes they take up a paragraph, maybe a half page, maybe just a few verses. These videos about Jesus doing something, saying something, interacting with people, performing some deed, delivering some message, over and over and over. Now, there are sections of the Gospels that are more prolonged. John tends to take one event and stretch it out. It says a lot more about one event. But still, let me ask you this question. How many of these events, how many of these episodes does it take to prove that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God? How many do you really need? Could you learn that just from the book of Matthew or just from the book of John? Could you learn that just from part of Matthew? Probably could. You can actually just take single verses in certain places and learn that. Right. Why is this all stacked up in there? It's stacked up, isn't it? It's a barrage of these videos. Why is it stacked up, piled up like that? What do you think? Earl? Go ahead, Zachary, again.
An irrefutable amount of evidence.
It's a mound of evidence. It's a mountain of evidence, isn't it? Which makes it harder to refute. And especially if it's detailed, and that includes geographic details. Earl, what were you going to say?
It's the times, places, and historical characters.
It's just more data. The more specific you are in a lie, the better chances you are that it's going to be found out that it's a lie. Yeah, Joe, do you have something? Right. Yeah, it's all fulfilling prophecy. And think about that. It could be true. If Isaiah prophesied something about the Messiah, just one or two things, and Jesus fulfilled it, it's believable. But there are dozens and dozens of prophecies. And then all these events, this is evidence piled up that Jesus is real. And part of that picture is this geography. So when you see Jesus in the Gospels, you need to see Him not just in a certain time, first century, Roman Empire, Judea, all that kind of thing. You also need to see Him at a certain place. Yeah, Becca?
It makes me think of like your parents have the home videos, like all people all together, and they're typically by year and where they're at, and right.
Right. It's a fuller story, isn't it? It's a complete story. And that's what you've got. Okay. Excellent. Now, here's what we're going to do tonight. You've got a poster somewhere near your table on a pew. Okay. It's right behind Susan. It's in the back pew over here for these tables. It's right behind you there. There you go. Everybody's found them. Boy, you guys are on it. Okay. Here's what you're going to do. All right, listen up. Got several directions here. Let me give you. First of all, you're going to create on this poster an outline of Palestine, which is what we've been doing. I've been giving you some of these maps. You've been creating some of these. In other words, it needs to look something like that right there. Just the Mediterranean border. It's pretty simple. Then put the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and the Dead Sea right there. So just a basic outline of Palestine. You've got some maps there in your atlas as well as your folder that can help you with that. Now, what are you going to do with that outline map of Palestine? Here's what you're going to do. First of all, I want you to put on this poster the physical features of Palestine. Look up here at the list because there's a lot to do here. The physical features of Palestine. Remember we looked at those last week? Coastal plain, Central Highlands, Jordan River, Sea of Galilee, Transjordan Mountains, put all those on there. You'll find somebody's got a map there in your group that has those. Then label the following political regions. You've probably got a map you've already done there. Nothing else, you can use page 22 of the Atlas. Label Judea, Samaria, Galilee, Decapolis, and Phoenicia, and Perea. All right, you got that? Okay, don't start yet, because I've got to give you this other information. So after you get this, and by the way, some people at the table can be working on that, and the others work on this. Then you bring your finished Palestine poster and put it over here in one of these windows. So we got seven groups now and six windows, so you're going to have to double up maybe on six and seven. So you're going to put your poster board up there. Then, see the index cards on your tables? You got some white index cards near the basket or the caddy. What you're going to do is, at your discretion, I'm going to give you some text to work from, and then you're going to create an action or teaching card on an index card. And here's what you're going to do. I'm going to assign you some chapters. Like some people are going to have Matthew 1 through 4. You go in there and you select an action of Jesus or something that happened to Jesus, like being born. Or you can select a teaching. Like when he taught after the feeding of the 5,000 how he's the bread of life. And we know about where he did that, okay? You select either a teaching or an action, and then you create a card that reflects that. And on the card, you need to put the scriptural reference on top, then a brief summary, like a sentence that summarizes that action or teaching, and then the location, Galilee, Samaria, Decapolis, Capernaum, Sea of Galilee, that's a location, Jordan River, okay? Now, you want to select actions where there is an identifiable place. Sometimes Jesus heals someone, like Peter's mother-in-law. It looks like it's in Capernaum, but it's hard to know exactly for sure. But when Jesus talks to the disciples and says, "Who do men say that I am?" Right before he asked that question, it says they were at Caesarea Philippi. So look for a text that has a place identified. And if you have those sections in your Bible, look at that first verse. And usually, if the location is mentioned, it's mentioned right off the bat. At Nain, Jesus did this. Jesus returned to his home city, by the way, which was Capernaum. Yes, he's raised in Nazareth, but during his ministry, his home city was Capernaum at the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. So look for the sections that begin with the location and use those. Once you create a card, you're going to create several of these, you bring it over here and you take some of this putty that I've got right here and you mount it on the frame. And thank you, Earl Metcalf, for designing this building in such a way that I can teach this class. Thank you very much, Earl. I didn't even know Earl then, but he came through, okay? Put the card here, and you're going to create several cards. It's got the reference, the summary, and the place. Let's say Jesus calms the storm on the Sea of Galilee. There's a couple places he does that. Then what you want to do is you've got some string, some yarn nearby, near where your poster was. Cut it to length. Connect the string to the card. And then with this Scotch tape, this is when I needed Olivia and Lydia. Tape it to the map. Okay? That way it shows this. Walking on the water, calming the storm, happened there at Sea of Galilee. Or if he's enters Jerusalem and cleanses the temple. Or he's baptized in the Jordan River. Take your card, put it up there, tape the string to show where it's at. Now, I'd like for you to try to come up with 5 cards. So some of you can be designing the map, labeling the map. The other can be doing the cards. And this is your assigned text. Table 1, Matthew 1 through 4. Table 2, Matthew 8 through 11. Table 3, 13 to 15. Table 4, Matthew 16 to 21. Table 5, Luke 4 to 7. Table 6, Luke 8, 9, 18 and 19. Table 7, John 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7. At your discretion, you pick whatever you want out of those chapters. There is at least 5 identifiable geographic locations in all those chapters, usually more. Okay, let me know if you've got a question. I'll come around and ask. There's a lot in Matthew 1 to 4. A lot of movement, a lot of geographic references. It's the most he ever traveled in his life. Was in those first years. Yeah.